Nearly in the words of the great late Robin Williams, good morning from Vietnam. Because yes, Hicksville is coming to you from Southeast Asia, where I'm on a mission to find out what, if anything, remains of La Vie Française over 70 years after their departure, not entering into the whys and wherefores of colonialism, of course. I've just been looking around to see if anything has survived of the je ne sais quoi, as it has in Shanghai, for example, with its French Quarter intact. My little odyssey begins in Laos, a serene and gentle country despite its military misfortunes, its closest neighbors being Vietnam and Cambodia. Here there are more golden Buddhas than I would ever imagine. And of course the saffron-robed monks, some of them as young as 8, who become novice monks basically to get them through schooling and learning how to depend on the kindness of others. The local people are so friendly and gentle, and many get up early in the morning every day to give the monks handfuls of rice and some money as they pass by, a visual feast. Well, the first thing I noticed was a bakery selling delicious baguette, pain au raisin and croissant. A restaurant offered saucisse, not Asian food at all. These fellas are denser than Toulouse sausage, packed as they are with pork, but they are like a close cousin to what we know. Looking at the floors in shops and houses, and in a French colonial style villa I ventured into, they largely use the pink terracotta carreau tiles that we love so much in the Gers. They've got two schools in Luang Prabang. One still goes under the name École Maternelle, the other is the École Secondaire. And the old post office building, with its name in the Lao language, still bears the French banner La Poste. The other reminder of days past, which the locals have adopted as their own, is pétanque. Beneath the shade of a tamarind tree currently in orange blossom on a piece of rough ground, the men stand in groups with the same preoccupied expressions that you see under the chestnut trees of every village in France, the players wondering how to get the better of their opponents, hands behind their backs, holding the metal balls or eyeing them on the ground. As I said, they are very relaxed people and it's a game they enjoy. Now wandering along the main street of Hanoi, a much more hectic place, being passed by motorbikes like shoals of silver fish weaving round me, I pass Maison de this and Maison de that. A restaurant called itself Café de l'Espoir, another one Saint-Honoré. And then, of course, they have the French Quarter, of which the Hanoi people are very proud, because the roads are long and wide and straight and flanked by leafy trees, although they're not called boulevards anymore. Most houses in the old quarter have some sort of French balcon, wrought iron railings, even though their living space is often no bigger than 10 square meters. And those places with a bit more room to breathe like to enclose their properties with very French-looking railings and front gates. The imposing dwelling that was built for the father of the nation, Uncle Ho, is piece of classic French architecture, three floors with architraves and balconies in mustard yellow with green paintwork. In the event, Ho said no to living in it, preferring a more modest building nearby. The city museums, military, women's and culture explain the displays in Vietnamese, English and French. Interestingly, they don't teach French at school anymore, if ever they did. Next time, I'll see what I can glean from the south of the country. For the moment, it's Vive la France from a long way away.